And are you refreshed?
Yes.
Good. Now what?
It's been a very exciting 3 months since I started listening to the tapes. I've come a long way, I think, in my life. I've had a tremendous experience of the senses all around the world, beautiful world. Thousands of compliments on my insights dealing with the sick people and my career. A lot of these insights have come to me naturally through my younger years. I also have come from a place that I'm just realizing. I'm kind of nervous now. Take a bit of a breath. I'm just realizing the last few years new things about seeming that I'm brainwashed from my childhood. Not the things that I want to keep vibing with, but...
Brainwashing is natural, though, isn't it? What it really means is acclimating to the vibration that surrounds me. And that no one could ever be brainwashed, or no one could ever easily acclimate to the vibrations that surround them if they were really in touch with the way they feel and really wanting to feel good. That's the basis of stopping the brainwashing. People use brainwashing in detrimental terms, meaning I've come to believe something that is not necessarily true or not even necessarily good for me. And we would like to use it in the positive expression. I'm washing my brain and finding the thoughts of alignment. I'm coming into vibrational alignment with my source. I'm letting my guidance wash through my brain and bring me into vibrational alignment with well-being.
Okay, I understand that, and I really understand that intellectually. My upbringing was one of seemingly training me out of being intuitive and having emotions, and I'm reclaiming that.
Yes,
for sure.
It's true for most, isn't it?
Because,
and
yeah.
Think about it. When a parent or a teacher believes that they would have a better moment if you would do something different, then,
yeah.
And some of them are big and coercive, and they've got other people backing them up. And so when they believe that their happiness depends upon your behavior modification, sometimes it's just easier for you to go along with what they want. But in essence, aren't you still, even though you're going along with what they want, aren't you doing it really because it is better for you, for them to not be hitting you over the head with something? When you are in despair and you deliberately reach for a thought that makes you feel angry, the angry thought feels better. And you feel relief. In other words, wouldn't you rather be mad than afraid?
Yeah.
And the reason is because there's less resistance in anger than there is in fear. And you find that sort of automatically. It's a knee-jerk reaction for almost everyone. But then someone says to you, your anger is misplaced, your anger is wrong, and so then you turn right around and go back to Phoenix. But the point that we're wanting to make is, when you deliberately choose a thought on purpose, and you acknowledge that that choice did make you feel better, you've taken some of your power back.
Right.
If you are deliberately doing something, in other words, you're behaving yourself in the classroom even though you don't believe that you should be made to behave yourself in the classroom, but you're doing it deliberately because you know you're getting better results from a teacher who's not mad at you than you are from a teacher who is mad at you, the fact that you've done it on purpose goes a long way in helping you to continue to feel your control. It's the feeling of control that we're going to talk about with you. You have three examples?
Yeah. My occupation has been as a physiotherapist, and I've had thousands of glowing compliments on how I can help people, and from staff as well as patients. I kind of think that I don't want to be working in reinforcing other people's physical limitations, pains, things like that. I want to go somewhere else. It's taught me a lot about my own physical pains and maybe what I need to move from. I'm excellent at caregiving other people and being insightful for what they need, and I'm the opposite for what I need. And that relates to the other two points, which I'd really like some help with. I'm just realizing, as I was saying, that my upbringing kind of brainwashed me in a few ways. Tremendously anxious and constantly verbal mother, who I love and have forgiven many times and don't have any anger towards her. She did her best, but I'm this person that is hypervigilant and reactive and provocative like she is through training, I guess. And the third one is, I know, there's a family reunion coming up. I haven't seen my brother in many years. I've chosen to be away from him because it feels horrible to be around him. I was raised being humiliated by him the whole time of my upbringing, and just realizing it in the last few years, how it has affected me. And it feels better not having him in my life, but it doesn't feel better to my parents. And I'm confused about how to be with that, especially since the reunion's coming up.
Well, we enjoyed your examples for a number of reasons, but the primary reason that we think that they are of value in the discussion that we're having here is because when you attempt to factor in so many things, you're factoring in what's happening with patients and what they've come to. You're factoring in your past experience and how it affected you. Now you're factoring in the idea of the family reunion, how you feel about all of them and how they have felt about you, not just now, but over time. And when you try to consider all of those things, life can become quite a jumble, can't it?
It can.
It's sort of like trying to watch 12 television programs all at once or listen to all the radio stations at once. It's not easy to contemplate all of those things at once. So when you take any issue that is activated within you and you ask yourself, what do I want? Tell us from the first example that you offer relative to your work and relative to your ability to assist others and relative to your effectiveness with them. Tell us what that work has produced within you in terms of desire. Because, you see, that's what we want to know about every moment in time. What is it doing in terms of producing a desire? What desire do you think that you've launched that's waiting for you in vibrational escrow as a result of interacting with all of these patients over time?
I've been, for a long time, dreaming of running away and joining the circus, and the circuses do use PTs now. And I actually want to morph that into writing circus pieces, which I've already started to do, and instructing people in my techniques that I've learned and getting the focus enough to do that.
So what you're saying is, in my exposure to so many people who needed the therapy and needed my insight and who benefited from it, I have systematically and gradually created a future dream scenario where I am doing what I am trained to do, but in environments where people are not so far from their ability to achieve it. In other words, I want to go into a happier environment where there is a greater probability of my helping someone else close the gap between what they want and what they're able to do.
Yes. I have a tremendous desire to create beauty in the world, and gardens, sculptures, circus pieces, and that's where I'd like my focus to go instead of with people who, you know, are chain smokers and have cancer and don't take care of them for their physical bodies.
But you see, what's happened to you, and we'll address this first question first, is that over time you've come to understand what we know and what we were attempting to explain here today when we say someone who's here on the emotional scale, who is interacting with someone who's here on the emotional scale, they do not have a very valuable interchange because they can't hear each other. You can't really relate to where they are in any meaningful way, and they can't really relate to where you are in any meaningful way. The gap is so great that it is usually, and we're not saying that you have not helped them, but in helping them in terms of their physical progress, your emotional stance has taken a beating, and that's why you want to run away and join the circus. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have come to understand that there's one thing about doing what you need to do. A lot of people do the responsible thing that they need to do, and then there's the thing that you want to do. And so you've sort of been feeling trapped in this environment where you're doing the thing you were trained to do, and you're doing the thing that you're good at doing, but it is not necessarily the thing that you want to do. And the longer you do it, the more rockets of desire you launch, and the bigger gap becomes apparent between what you're doing with your life day to day and what you really want to do. It's an interesting thing, the parallels in the three offerings that you have given to us here, because when you think about the relationship that you had with your brother, you did just put time and distance between you. In other words, you did sort of run away from that. You're not doing the thing that you feel like you should do. And here you are grappling with this same thing again. There's a family reunion coming up, and what I should do is what a good family member would do, and what I should do is what my mother would really like me to do, but what I want to do is something entirely different. And so this is the thing that comes up all the time when people begin listening to Abraham, as we talk about you being the deliberate creator of your experience, because it's hard for you, and we hear this inherent in all of the things that you're talking about here, it's hard for you to determine what's the appropriate thing to do when others who are important to you, or even society, or even medicine, would have you do one thing while what your heart is calling for is something else. How do I make sense of all of this? Do I really just get to follow my bliss? And the way we answer this, we think it is a very, very good answer, is that there is this action journey that you are certainly upon. And the action journey, the best way of describing it is it's sort of what your life has culminated to so far. And it's the obligations and commitments and beliefs that you hold. And all of those obligations and commitments and beliefs that you hold have culminated and are manifesting in the way your life is unfolding. For example, we were talking with a woman one day who has very painful arthritis in her hips, and she wanted to talk about what she could do about remedying it. And we were explaining to her, well, that's your action journey right now. That's sort of where you're at. In other words, that's what is, and it's not going to change this red hot minute. It's not going to change most likely very much, even over a period of time. That's sort of where you're at. But at the same time, you've got this action journey that is about painful arthritis in your hips. You've also got an emotional journey that's running right alongside, concurrent with it. And that emotional journey is the one that we want you to give your undivided attention to. In other words, we said to her, you have arthritis in your hips and you could feel fearful about it. Or you have arthritis in your hips and you could feel hopeful about it. And what we wanted to point out to her was the enormous vibrational difference between fearful and hopeful, because it is the difference between recovery or not. Really, it is. And so we think that you've shown yourself, in other words, as you work with people, did you notice some recovering and some not?
Absolutely.
And were you able to conclude from the personal, person-to-person research that you were observing that the emotional journey that they were on was making the difference in their progress? Could you see a difference in results based upon the mood or attitude of your patient?
Absolutely. I get them to laugh a lot as much as possible, and I have used, you know, intuitively a lot of the techniques, and since I've started listening to the tapes, it's way better even.
So would you acknowledge then that while you do have some power of influence with them, that part of what hinders you as a healer trying to help someone to improve the vibrational content of their mood or attitude, did you notice that some of them were sort of set in their ways,
yeah,
like your mother?
Yeah.
Did you notice that some of them are sort of set in their ways, even like you, relative to your mother?
Yeah.
In other words, now you said it to us and we're reflecting it back to you, but what we're all saying to each other in our observation of what is that people tend to observe what's happening around them, and then they tend to become like that. And we think that the discomfort that you're feeling in this very marvelous profession that you've fashioned for yourself is that you're discovering that you can't really do very much for anyone outside of their emotional journey.
Right.
And we think the reason that you want to run away and join the circus is because you're beginning to realize that there are therapies of the mind or therapies of the heart or therapies of the attitude that are really the therapies that are the most meaningful. And without that, all of the physical therapy in the world is not going to accomplish very much. Yes?
Yes.
Well, isn't that a marvelous conclusion? In other words, isn't it wonderful that you've come to understand how important attitude and mood or vibration is in the motion forward toward anything?
It's a wonderful gift.
Do you believe that anybody can change an attitude?
Yes.
And do you believe that you have the power to, in any moment, be the one that affects that attitudinal change?
Yes. Hesitating, but yes.
Do you think it's worth the price that you might have to pay?
Absolutely.
So what's your hesitancy about going to this family reunion? That was a well-laid trap, we might add.
No, it's, I've been through that whole process hundreds of times, and what happens to me is that I lose my sense of who I am and what I want and how I feel just like that when I'm around family. And in my broader life, I often get distracted from how I feel and what I want and don't know how to get back there.
Here's the reason for that. When you run away and join the circus, when you take your physical body away from something where there is less likelihood of the problematic things being activated and troubling you, they stayed right where they were. And then when you walk back into the environment, they're easily activated.
Okay.
Where when you move up the emotional scale relative to something, you put yourself in a different vibrational place. And then even though you might walk back into the familiar environment, it doesn't easily activate. Esther was just visiting her mother on the way here, and her father made his reemergence into non-physical a little over 2 years ago. And as Esther was walking up the steps to the house, she was sort of bracing herself because she knows what being in that environment and seeing all of those familiar things, she knows the potential that it has in causing her vibration to go to a place where it once was that is not as pleasing as where it now is. So she sat in the car for a little while, hoping not to be noticed, and made a decision about how she saw the day unfolding. And she painted a picture of her interaction with her mother and with the people who are there helping her mother, and got her vibration in a place so that when she walked in the door, Esther's vibration dominated. And Esther thought, oh, this feels ever so much better. And then just for a moment she thought, I'm a little surprised that I'm able to control the way I feel because I haven't been able to do that standing in this environment before. And then there are several people that are in and out of the house in various phases of caregiving to Esther's mother. And a woman came and Esther greeted her and then she left. And then another young girl came. And when she walked in the room, Esther actually felt the atmosphere change. It became light and bright. It looked to Esther like somebody had turned a light bulb on, even though nothing had changed. And Esther looked at this beautiful woman standing before her, and the woman said, I have your book. Will you sign it for me? Well, Esther was amazed because nothing that Esther has done in terms of work has ever been well received at all in her mother's house. And so Esther was surprised to see the book, and Esther's mother sort of barked, what book is that? And so Esther put the book in her mother's lap, and her mother said, I don't want this book, and handed it right back. And Esther thought, interesting how different the vibration is with her mother in relationship to this book and with this young woman in relationship to this book, just noticing. And then as the day unfolds, this young girl comes to help Esther's mother 2 days a week. There are others who come on other days. And as the day unfolded, Esther's mother made it very clear to Esther that she does not like this girl. And Esther just smiled and said, it may be a little bit of a language barrier because the girl is from Peru and her English is coming along, but And Esther said it was a little bit like a comedy routine, because Esther's mother would speak and the girl would say what, and then the girl would speak and Esther's mother would say what. Esther said this would make a great movie, because Esther understood that everything that all of them were saying, and yet they were not communicating with each other very well. And Esther said to Jerry when she returned to the motor coach, "I have never seen a better example of what Abraham has been offering, of people being in different places on the emotional scale. They literally cannot communicate with each other." And Esther, who found this young woman to be bright and beautiful, Esther said, "I wish that I had 10 like you, and that you could all be there on a rotating basis to help my mother." And Esther's mother heard that and looked up with alarm. And then Esther's mother suggested that Esther take her with her. Her mother is not meaning to be unkind. She is just noticing that they are vibrationally so far apart. This young woman is so cheerful, it is annoying to Esther's mother. And this young woman does not see any reason that Esther's mother cannot be cheered up. And so she makes endless all day effort, and Esther's mother has to work so hard at maintaining the vibration of her choice. And so, in contemplating it, Esther thought, "Now I could get right in the middle of this and really mess everything up. I could find someone just like this cheerful woman who resonates powerfully with me, and I could fill my mother's life full of people like that." And then Esther thought, "I would not be doing my mother a favor, and I would not be doing this young woman a favor, because I would have put them in a place where through action I have bound them to be different than their vibrational nature is attracted." You see. And so it was an enormously insightful day for Esther, because she came away from it knowing that we just have no business as teachers trying to get anybody to vibrate in a different place than they are choosing to vibrate. And in the majority of cases, when you make an effort to bring someone to a place that they are not ready to come to, usually what happens is there is a backlash and you end up in a vibration closer to where they are than they end up in a vibration closer to where you are. So, as teachers, and we are teachers of teachers, it is our powerful desire to impart in ways that you can really hear it, that you teach through the clarity of your example. We don't think that you need to run away and join the circus, although we think it would be a wonderful thing for you to do. But we want you to make your decisions based upon how they feel from a closer standpoint to where you are. In other words, what we are suggesting is, as you make your best effort from where you are and you let people come with you or not, what will begin to happen as you begin to maintain a vibration that is consistent with what feels good to you, the people who come to you will acquiesce around your vibration. So as you're in an environment where the majority of people that you're interacting with don't easily come with you where they need to come vibrationally in order to get the best improvement, and you're certainly not willing to go with them, and so then the next logical thing seems like, well, I should just remove myself from this environment like I did with my mother and like I did with my brother, and I should go to better feeling environments. And we say, we're always for going to a better feeling environment, but we are really for making peace with where you are so that the better feeling environment unfolds naturally, rather than taking action to go to a different environment with no change in the vibration, which then keeps bringing that back over and over again, no matter where you are. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
In other words, potentially, you could run away and join the circus, and you could be surrounded by the same sorts of feeling people that are surrounding you where you are, even though you've taken this action. So action isn't what makes your life improve. It is standing where you are and making peace with where you are. So in your situation, the way we would do that is by feeling appreciation for the expertise you've come to and feeling appreciation for the success that you've had. As you say, you have myriads of appreciation letters and notes from people who are and have improved. And then we would acknowledge, from where I am standing, we would say, I know that there is something that is a better match for me, and I am determined that I will find it. And meanwhile, I'm appreciative of where I am and the insight that it's giving me. And from where I now stand, what I want is, and what do you think it is? When you think about your life and when you think about how you feel, you've said it in part here, but give us a fuller picture.
It's really hard because my desires, like a lot of my life, is all over the map. And I haven't been able to focus it down.
Well, this is good, because you see, when you say it's really hard, because and we like hearing that from you, because we know something that you don't know. And we're about to tell you, and then you'll know it as well as we know it. And that is that in every environment, with your brother, with your mother, with your clients, in each exposure to each one of those experiences, you've been launching preferences that are being held for you in vibrational escrow. So you have a magnificent, perfect, lovely future pulsing over here, just waiting for you to find it. But the way you find it is not by specifically identifying it. The way you find it is by feeling the vibe of it, by trying to get a little closer to what feels good. And so that's why when you fantasize, and maybe it is more than a fantasy, but when you fantasize about running away and joining the circus, what do you think you're really saying? I want to go into a more fun environment. I want to go into an environment where people come deliberately looking for upliftment. I want to be in an environment that is not so serious or desperate in nature. I want to be surrounded by people who are at the top of their game, who are at the height of their vitality, rather than winding it out. And so we think that those are all very powerful things that you are saying. So when you stand in the middle of where you are, and you are looking at something that's very far from that, the discord that is happening within your vibration is because you're observing something that's very far from your vision of what you want, and then you feel trapped in that vision. So you could soften that by stopping right in the middle of that thought and saying, I'm on my way to something that feels better, and meanwhile, I'm pleased that I'm here for these reasons. And then as you just look for positive aspects about why you're here, and you did that when you sat down. That's the first thing you began telling us, was about all of the successes and all of the things about where you are that you are appreciating. As you continue to look for the successes and look for the improvements wherever you find them, what begins to happen is the resistance within you begins to soften, and you become more a vibrational match to where you're going. And then one day that fulcrum will tip, and it will just be the most natural thing in the world for you. There, something will appear before you, a suggestion or an offer that will be so compelling that you will say, but of course. It won't feel confusing. It won't feel like, should I or shouldn't I? It will be so obvious that wild horses would not keep you from it, you see. Now let's take the same understanding and let's apply it to this idea of the family reunion. So there's a family reunion, and on the one hand, I think I should go. And on the other hand, I really don't want to go. So we say to you, it doesn't matter whether you go or whether you don't go. But it does matter that whichever decision you make, you become a vibrational match to it. Now, we're just going to throw out a couple of scenarios. And as you listen, you'll feel, and we'll feel you feel. And together, it will be obvious to us which is the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance means which action is most in harmony with most of the vibrations that are mostly active and mostly important to you. The path of least resistance is always the one that feels, under the circumstances, like the best way to go. What happens with so many of you, you say, well, neither way feels good. And we say, that's not an option. When you've been faced with a go or don't go, you're either going to go or you're not going to go. And we strongly encourage you to always go with the path of least resistance. That's what we were talking about earlier. Going along with the teacher and what she wants isn't giving up your freedom, it's following the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance, hear this, sometimes you have a negative connotation about the path of least resistance because you've decided to be diligent and vigilant and tough. And we say, the path of least resistance is the path of most allowance. It's the path by which you let the most of yourself be active and present in this moment, you see. Just off the top of your head, does it feel like the path of least resistance to go or not go?
To go.
It does, doesn't it?
I want to go.
Now, that was easy.
How to be there is the The little tactics.
This is the next step that we're talking about. In other words, you've made a decision. You can clearly feel that the path of least resistance is to go. But what hangs so many of you up, you decide to go, but then you complain about going. Or you talk about the people who are going to be there that you really don't want to see. Or you stir up the stuff that used to bother you. So you're going, but you activate all of the stuff that's active in your vibration that makes you not want to go. And that's why it's tough to be there. Mm. So once you've made the decision that you're going to go, line up with the idea of going. How long will this reunion last?
Oh, it's a weekend, long weekend.
And so do you think...
I am fortunate that I have friends that are more vibrationally similar to retreat to away from the reunion, different than anybody else in the
All reunion. Right, now, do you think that statement is a lining up with the reunion statement or a running away and joining the circus statement?
It's my baby steps, maybe like a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, learning how to take care of my and notice my emotions, because if I'm in the midst of it, I often just shut down.
Well, the thing that we want you to contemplate here is, because you've had many experiences like this with similar family situations, the thing that you're doing now, you are reactivating your memory of how unpleasant it is right in the middle of a decision that I'm going to go.
Okay.
So it's like what you're saying is, I'm going to go do this thing that's going to feel awful. So here you are feeling pretty good in your work, and then someone says there's a family reunion. And so then you think about the family reunion, and then you think about other family reunions, and then you think about the family that will reunite, and then you think about the specifics of your brother, and then you think about the specifics of your mother, and then you feel sort of powerless. And then you begin to climb up the emotional scale a little bit in your statement just now, as you say, well, I don't have to spend every minute there with them. So that's what we're talking about. You've given yourself a little bit of an escape valve. But the question that we want to ask is, when you keep thinking in terms of taking yourself physically somewhere other than where the family that's reuniting is, you don't do anything about cleaning up your vibration, which just means you spend a lifetime of trying to keep yourself separate. And we think this is the thing that is sort of tearing you up. Because you said, I've forgiven my mother. In other words, I'm no longer blaming her so much. But we do not feel that the vibration within you about your childhood or about your family has been cleaned up at all. We think that it's just been set off someplace else. And so that's all right. In other words, you can never go there, or go there rarely, or when you go, escape to family, to friends that are easier to get along with. And you would only have this discomfort every time you felt like that was a path of least resistance to go do something that you didn't want to do. But we don't think, from a non-physical standpoint, that that's any way to live a physical life experience. We want you to get so in control of your own thoughts and your own vibrations on the subjects that touch you on a regular basis. And friend, there is no subject that touches anyone on a more regular basis than family, than mother, than brother, than all of those vibrations that were such an active part of your beginning. That's what's happened with so many of the people that you are attempting therapy with. They're so stuck in their vibrational ways that there's not enough action in the world to make any real difference in the way they... Haven't you noticed, and haven't you wondered why medicine can come up with a cure, and almost as quickly as there is a cure for one disease, another disease with no cure rears its ugly head?
Yeah.
And it's because the resistance factor continues to be there. People aren't dealing with the cause of disease. They're trying to find a cure for it, but they're not getting to the vibrational cause. And we love it, almost without exception, when someone sits in a chair and presents 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 different scenarios. They always intertwine with one another, as yours have done so magnificently, because it is all about cleaning up vibration and then doing whatever action you feel inspired to. We know we're taking a long time with one person, but everyone is relating on many levels here. Let's clean up together your vibration relative to your family, so that when you walk your physical body into the party, you're in a vibrational stance that your inner being can be there too. We think that's why you don't want to go home. Every time you go home, you have to check your inner being at the door.
Yeah.
And so it's not a place that you want to be, you see, where when you are in vibrational sync with who you are, the whole of you shows up there. Esther watched her mother. Esther was tuned in, tapped in, turned on. She had a delightful conversation with this charming little girl, and she was there to visit her mother, and her mother really wasn't having much of it, but Esther was not negatively impacted by any of that. And by the time the day was over, her mother was a little weary because the vibration had been much higher around there than she was accustomed to, but Esther does not see it as her responsibility to bring her vibration down to the vibrational level of her mother. She no longer takes responsibility for where anyone else is vibrating. She's tending to her own vibration. And you must do that too, you see. So, what's going to happen at this reunion? How do you see it unfolding?
Well, just during your introduction, a very positive thing happened. I, for the first time in maybe in my life, I imagined myself cordially saying hello to my brother and shaking his hand and nice to see you and feeling in my power about that. That was a sweet thing to think about, to imagine, to visualize. And then the other part of that is not feeling like I'm in control. And I mean, I understand intellectually all of the things you're saying, but then something will happen where I suddenly feel humiliated.
Well, you see,
and small.
What we're going to show you here, because you are a teacher dealing with a lot of people who, in order to have any real success, have to find a way to move up the emotional scale. And while you cannot necessarily relate to them in terms of the physiology of their body and your body, you can relate by moving up the emotional scale. So we're going to show you how to move from what feels to us like a very low point on the emotional scale, and that's just fine, into a much better place relative to this. And as you witness it and observe it and go through it on your own and then practice it over the next few days, when is the reunion?
In a month, 5 weeks.
So you have plenty of time to get yourself in a good place. You are going to understand firsthand how you can assist anyone in moving up the emotional scale, as you don't insist that they do it all at once, but you show them how they can move incrementally.
Can I mention that I know and I've experienced myself being way above average and excellent at helping other people do that?
Yes.
But I don't seem to have very good awareness of providing that to myself.
Well, could you pretend that you're helping someone else up it relative to a family reunion?
As in myself, the other person?
The subject that you have brought to the forefront here is so important, because what you're saying is we have these vibrational habits that are such habits that they are hard to budge from. And it's easier for me to view someone else in a clear view and coax them than it is to view myself in a clear view. But you see, there still are two relative points. You're feeling better than they are and you're coaxing them along, and we're wanting you to become aware of the two facets of yourself that you are trying to coax along. You see, we don't want you to fix your family. We want you to make peace with where they are and achieve a higher vibration if they move not at all. In forgiving them, you have to have seen them in some improved light. We want to break this to you gently. They're going to be pretty much like they were last time you saw them. And that's what happens. You walk in with all of these high hopes, you take one look at something that hasn't changed at all, and it feels like all of that was for nothing. So what we want you to achieve during the month that you have before you are in this situation, we want you to have made such peace with where they are and make that such a non-issue in relationship to you. It would be sort of like walking into a buffet where there are things you like to eat and things you don't like to eat, and you just don't throw a fit because there are things on the buffet you don't want to eat. You just choose the things that you want to eat, and the things that are there that you don't eat aren't an issue to you. And so we want everything about your family or about anybody else to not be an issue to you, because you are so complete in your own vibrational countenance. You've come into such vibrational alignment with who you are that it doesn't matter how they see you. This is a big one, friends. This is at the heart of every human relationship. Because, you know, most of you stand in your selfish self and you look out at others who are viewing you, and the majority of what you feel about yourself isn't about your observation of the world, it's about your observation of them observing you. So you begin to take on their picture of you, and they don't have the ability. This is the point that we've been hammering out all day here today. They don't have the ability to have the picture of you because their inner being isn't in there. They weren't there during all the contrasting experiences. They're not part of all of the stuff that's in your vibrational escrow. They don't know who you are, where you've been, what your desires are, or where you are relative to your desires. So their attitude or opinion about you is irrelevant and not even about you. It's about them. And so when your brother is a bully and makes fun of you and demeans you and picks on you, he's not doing that from his point of power, from his point of connection. He's doing that from his point of disconnection. He's doing that from the point of a pillow over his face. He's doing that from a point where he's doing anything he can think of doing to try to get some of his own power back. And so we would say your mother did a pretty good job on you and on him of making you from her place of insecurity feel insecure. And then you all just sort of bang around in your insecurity and point at each other about why you feel the way you do. And now you have come out of that, and you are no longer going to give any of them credit for the way you feel. But you can't help but notice that you do feel stronger when you think about them or when you see them. And so it does feel like the way you feel is affected by them. And it does take you back to the fact that if they had been differently, you could have felt differently, which takes you right back into that powerlessness, which is what we want to get out of. In other words, it's the powerlessness that it's all about to begin with, you see. So here you stand, and you get all of that. You told us intellectually it makes sense to you. But what do I actually do about it? Well, the work is in the month beforehand. So let's talk about something that happened that you see as a sort of symbol of the disempowerment that happened to you, either from your mother or from your brother. In other words, activate it for just a moment. Speak about it. It's already active, but activate it for just a moment.
He didn't mean what he said. You don't feel that. As a little kid, stop crying. He didn't mean what he said.
So who's saying this to you?
That would be my mother after one of the humiliation zingers.
So your brother did something that made you feel awful, and then your mother sort of took his side.
Or denied that I had an experience of it. So I disconnect.
So what kind of thing happened, did your brother say? Can you remember any of it?
Oh, he'd just say I was stupid or looked dumb or, you know, something very childish. Seeking his power, I understand.
All right, so why do you think that someone saying something like that to you feels like that? When someone says you're stupid, do you think that if you know for sure you're not stupid, and someone says you're stupid, don't you just think that instead of feeling anything, that what you really think is, no, actually, I'm smart and you're the stupid one?
What I have come to believe is that he felt threatened and didn't want me around, and that was a place of disempowerment for him. But
what we want you to feel with this is that if someone says something to you that you know isn't true, you don't get all defensive about it.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I've wanted the love of an older brother ever since I had consciousness as a physical being, and I've been seeking that all my life, and he just isn't there
for that. Here's the thing that we want you to understand.
Okay.
You got right to it so fast. That's where it got off track, and it can easily get back on track here. Get ready. You were not and have not been and are not seeking the love of an older brother. You're seeking connection with you, which sometimes a loving older brother can encourage. When someone holds you as their object of attention and they are appreciating you, they're connected to source. And in their appreciation, they flood it all over you. And it feels so good, and it's easy to then assume that the reason I feel so good in your appreciation is because you are appreciating me. When what's happening is they are influencing you to your own vibrational alignment with who you are. So it's your connection to your inner being that you've been seeking all this time. It's not been the love of your brother. It's been alignment with who you are. You see, your inner being adores you. Your inner being adores your brother unconditionally. So when you are finding thoughts that allow the fullness of your inner being to be flowing through you, you feel wonderful. And that's what you've been yearning for all this time. Your guidance system has been working all along. Those thoughts that make you feel so awful feel so awful because you're having thoughts that are different than your inner being is able or capable or willing to have, you see. Do you get this? That the reason you feel negative emotion is because you're out there without your inner being in your vibration fully. If your inner being joined you in your negative thought about your brother, you wouldn't feel negative emotion. Your inner being would be right there with you, but your inner being will not join you in those negative thoughts. That's a very important thing to understand. So the reason that we are probing back here a little bit is because we're wanting you to realize that it doesn't matter what has been. You can't go back and undo any of that. But you can stand where you are and find a way of approaching the subject in a way that feels better to you. And the only way that you are going to improve the way you feel about your brother is for the way your brother feels about you to be unimportant. And the only way that you are going to be able to make the way somebody else feels about you or their opinion unimportant is by having a guidance system of your own opinions that are important. In other words, and can you hear what we're driving at? The only thing we ever drive at, we want you to tune in, tap in, turn on to the energy of your source. And in that connection, it really becomes irrelevant what anybody else is doing. Yeah. So we're going to speak to you from the standpoint of your inner being, who saw everything that you ever lived, who knows everything that you are, who understands the dynamics of your family. And this is what your inner being has to say about this family reunion. I am, and we are speaking singularly, even though your inner being is a collective consciousness with many others. And so it's a whole host of energy that's accompanying you when you're tuned in, tapped in, turned on. I am so eager to lay eyes on my brother and express through vibration, not words, my appreciation of him. I know that from where he is, he will in no way, shape, or form return the favor. I don't care. Because what he thinks about me matters not at all. What I think about him is everything. I am not going to go to the reunion with any concern about anyone's awareness of me. I'm going to be so practiced in what I am seeing in them and so tuned up to what feels best to me, I'm going to make peace with where I came from. Now, we are guiding it into the vernacular of you in your physical body with your inner being within you. In other words, I'm going here because I choose to go here. And I'm glad that there are people that I get to see and I'm wanting to see them. And there are things about my mother and things about my family and things about all of that that I'm eager to participate in. And I don't think that I'm going to feel the way I have ever felt before when I've been there, because I'm approaching the whole thing from an entirely different standpoint. I'm taking all of me to the party. I'm no longer comparing anything that they think I should have done or that I think I should have become to any standard. In other words, what they think is utterly irrelevant. They don't have the facts. They don't have the ability. And it's not going to stop them from trying. But I'm going to have a different vibrational response to this. So between now and then, I'm going to practice loving them. Now, the way I'm going to do that is that I can love this podium.
Lists of appreciations, perhaps.
Because appreciation and love are the same vibration. Yeah. And so when I turn my attention to anything, I can find a positive aspect in it. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I would attempt to find a positive aspect in something is not because the podium needs my approval. It's because in my finding something to appreciate, I use my focus to tune me in to me. When I look at something that isn't the way I want it to be, and I need it to change so that I can feel better, I have disempowered myself because I don't have the power or the right to make it change. But when I use my ability to focus for the sole reason of choosing the thought that feels good when I find it, now I have come back into power. So, brother of mine, I'm going to find a way of feeling good about you between now and the time I see you, not for you, but for me. I'm going to activate within myself something that is so in harmony with who I am, and it's going to be easy for me to do because my inner being sees you in a different way than I have been allowing myself to see you. So I'm going to see you over the next month. I'm going to try to see you through the eyes of my inner being. Mother of mine, I'm going to try to see you through the eyes of my inner being. I'm going to try to see you through these eyes of appreciating. I so appreciate my avenue into this life experience. And I so appreciate the contrast that I lived that helped me to decide who I am.
Indeed.
And my feelings of insecurity and my feelings of inferiority are beginning to subside even as I contemplate taking control of my own vibration.
Indeed.
I feel eager to get myself in a good feeling place. And while I can't do it all at once, I can easily jump ahead and fast forward and imagine walking into the family reunion and finding none of you changed at all, but me changed so much it doesn't matter. Me feeling so good about me and me no longer needing you to be different than you are so that I can feel good. So there you are, just like you've always been, and here I am, entirely different than I have ever been. Here I am, tuned in, tapped in, turned on. Here I am, in love with life, proud of my profession, eager about my future experience, knowing that I made the best decisions as I went along, and you probably did too. I've made so much more of who you are in relationship to me than I ever needed or should have made. You have not been the significant factors in my life that I've tried to make you out to be. Your opinions, because you couldn't tune in, it wasn't possible for you to tune in to the picture that I had of me. I've been holding you all in an impossible situation. I've needed you to get tuned into source energy so that you could see me in the perfect light. That's asking too much of anybody to do. So there you've always been out there just being who you are and hurting me, I might add. And I've needed you to be different than you were able to be so I didn't get hurt. Boy, do I see the screwy air of my ways. So now, I'm not going to tell this to you out loud, you say to them as you're preparing for the family reunion. I give you permission to be as you have always been. And I give myself permission. In fact, I've decided that I'm going to find you entertaining. I'm going to find you interesting. I'm going to find you like I would find a family that's sitting in the restaurant next to me, who's carrying on in some way, where I'm observing you as you are living, but I'm realizing that my observation of you in no way means that I really have anything to do with you. What you think of each other, what you think of yourselves, and what you think of me is a non-issue to me. What I think of myself and what I think of you and what I think of the reunion is an issue to me. So I'm going to tune myself up to all of that before I get there. You get a sense of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you imagine getting there, and you imagine seeing them, and you imagine feeling good, and you imagine them not understanding why you feel so good. And then you imagine them being a little annoyed that you feel so good. And then you imagine them determined, as everyone is, to get you to feel more like they feel. But it doesn't matter to you because they no longer have the ability to take you there, which means the reason for your fear and insecurity no longer exists. Because the only thing that any of you have ever really felt fear about is being taken into a situation where you would feel the horror of disallowing your inner being to be present with you and not be able to do anything about it. That is the utter basis of negative emotion, of insecurity, of fear, of all violence, of all acts against humanity. In other words, we've just gotten to the heart of what bothers everybody. They didn't treat me right when I was little. And they're not likely to start now.
And it doesn't matter anymore.
And it doesn't matter, because it was never their job to begin with. Your brother didn't not be the big brother he was supposed to be. He was never supposed to be that person that you needed him to be. That's the job of your inner being. But your inner being was always the inner being that it was supposed to be. It was not the job of the inner being to hook up with you. Your inner being's always hooked up with you. It's your job to find a way to hook up with your inner being, you see. Full empowerment, yes?
Yes.
So just practice, have fun with it. Yeah. Go to the family reunion. Be glad that it's brief.
Play a lot.
Play along.
Play with the kids a lot.
Play with the kids. Have great fun. And if you are as tuned in, tapped in, turned on as we expect you to be, they probably won't invite you back.
Is it possible for someone's wanting to be something that a lot of us would consider not a good desire?
Certainly.
And still have it manifested?
Everybody gets to create their own reality. And fortunately, you are diverse in your interests. That's what adds balance to everything. Jerry and Esther were having a conversation like this as they were driving, that it's interesting how we tend to only think that the ideas that are ours are the good ideas, and others who disagree with us surely must be the wrong ones. And everyone feels that way pretty much, you see.
I was listening on the way down from Seattle to a CD of yours when a woman asked a question about loving to read mysteries, which involved crime. And I came away with the sense that she felt, even though she enjoyed these, she shouldn't be doing this. It was not in her best interest.
Well, often people, and that woman in particular, often people are concerned that anything they give their attention to, they will activate it in their vibration. And there is good reason to be aware of that. So her concern was not so much about the morality of reading the crime mystery, or even the morality of someone committing what is seen by the majority of you to be crime. You are all criminals in the sense that you break more laws than you keep, because there are laws that you are abusing every day that you have no awareness of. And it is only when someone wants to benefit financially that they then make an issue. Wouldn't you like to have a business where you could decide what was allowed and what wasn't allowed, and then fine what wasn't allowed? And wouldn't you want to then begin to make rules about things that would be easily broken? Someday there will be laws about the kinds of food you eat and where you eat them and the implements with which you eat them. In other words, this thing could get very carried away, as long as people are discovering the economic value of making law. We are proponents of helping you to understand that you create your own reality, and we are not too interested in you trying to create your own reality by trying to contour your life by all of the intentions that have been established by so many people who are around you. In other words, there are always extenuating circumstances which make your judgment in the moment a good judgment. Let's say you're driving down the freeway and you believe always in keeping the speed limit, and all of a sudden you look over and you see someone about to veer into your lane and crush you. So you go 80 miles an hour to get out of the way. You have broken the law, and you drove recklessly. And you might have even driven on the place that says official vehicles only. And you might have come to a stop at the side of the road right in front of a sign that says no stopping here under any conditions. But your own logic and your own sense and your own experience and your own guidance guided you to disobeying a myriad of laws And we say, life's sort of like that. You've got to utilize your own guidance. And when you are in sync with who you are, you will not be negatively affected by any of the decisions that you make. What is at the heart of your question? Because there are two different things that we can feel pulsing.
It really has to do, I guess, with the differences that people get enjoyment from. People enjoy things that other people think probably shouldn't be enjoyed. Everything everybody's doing seems to be what they want to do, apparently, and it's okay.
Do you think that if you really knew that it couldn't get in your pie, that you would be more willing to allow the others to do what they choose? And do you think that someone else creating something that you may not want could be information that could help you in the contouring of what you do want? So the comparative experiences are all of value in the establishing of the next great idea. So if we could step aside from the moral judgments about the rightness or wrongness, and that would be easier to do once you understand that they can't get it in your pie, then we think that you could be more of a world that is living and let live, and then your world would really expand in a powerful way. If this world were having exposure to his experiences and everyone were launching their personal rockets of desires, as you are, and Source were answering as it is, and everyone or most everyone or a lot of you were understanding that all you've got to do is relax now and let it in, you would be, as individuals and as mass consciousnesses, as societies, thriving in such magnificent ways that you would not be nitpicking over what anybody else is doing. But the belief in shortage, the belief in limitation, the belief in the resources being limited is what causes most of you to bicker and get guarded and fuss and worry about that sort of thing. If you really understood the unlimited resources of this time-space reality and of the universe at large, we think that you would allow more and more others to live as they choose to live. You are selfishly oriented, and that is a good thing. The way that plays out in your physical world is that it plays out in the attitude of economics. So if you're ever wanting to understand what is making things move in a selfishly based environment, which this is and which it must be, it's the way it is established from Source. Can you feel what we get at when we talk about the importance of the selfish nature? In other words, here you stand and you're having an experience, and your opinion about your experience has to come through the eyes of self. You don't have any other framework. And every point of consciousness, even the cells of your body, have these selfish points. And so the cells in your body that know what's best for them individually make for a very healthy whole. If some of the cells in your body can vibrationally get a stronger signal going and can override the intention of the other cells, then the body is not as healthy as it is when individual cells are all speaking for themselves. This is making sense,
yes,
to you? And so Source sees all that is as this pulsing consciousness, where each point of consciousness is attracting unto its selfish self in the best sense of the word, so the whole continues to thrive. It must. So the only reason that anybody ever has less than a thriving, wonderful experience is because they've gotten sideways of that stream of well-being. And the way people get sideways of the stream of well-being is by fixating on something that they fear is problematic and activating the problem in their vibration more dominantly than the solution that they're asking for, and then they live out the opposite of what they're asking for, and then they claim there must be a source of that, when there was never a source of that. They just got sideways or crossways or cross current or resistant to the source that was there, you see. We do not think that it is helpful to be in physical form and wish for or long for or hope for a time when everyone will be in agreement. because it is your differences that keep being the platform of contrast that keeps the new ideas coming forth. But we think it is infinitely important, extremely valuable for any individual to say, I don't have to figure out what they all want and get them all in alignment. I just have to come into alignment with me. Energy balance means come into alignment with me. Energy balance means mix it up, let the new ideas be born, feel source, go wholeheartedly in agreement with the idea that has been born, and then I'll work myself into vibrational alignment, into energy balance, into centering myself. You use lots of different words over time. I'll bring myself into vibrational alignment with who I have become. We really want you to hear this. Oh, here's a very good way of saying this. The contrast gave you the new idea, and you, or at least a good part of you, the non-physical part of you, became that. And now you want to become that too. And why is that? Because you cannot pull back from that which you have become. You cannot pull back from that which you have become. If your environment has given birth to you, to the source part of you going to a new place, you've got no choice as you maintain the happy being than you are other than to go along with it, you see. That was a big one, wasn't it?
Yes.
So now let's go back to the premise of the question that you're asking. So Abraham, are you saying that we've all come forth with different enough intentions and we are all giving birth to different ideas and each one of us in the new idea that's being born can't pull back from it? And we say, that's right. Esther felt a new desire hatch in herself recently and she said to Jerry, uh-oh. It's hatched, and you know what that means. And Jerry says, unfortunately, I do. We must go with it. And if there's resistance involved, then your primary work must be to rid yourself of the resistance, not to pull back the dream, because life has given you this next logical step. It was logical to source. Source went right along with it. The question is, what are you going to have to do to make it logical to you? What thoughts are you going to do? What thoughts of possibility are you going to have to engage in order to bring yourself vibrationally along? And what is happening so often in your world is, instead of letting the ideas be hatched and putting your time and energy toward coming into alignment with the progressive beings that you are, you quibble and squabble and kill each other over the appropriateness of the ideas, when all ideas must be accepted. You could not as a human give birth to an idea and have your source go along with it without it being a magnificent idea. And somehow man has become so sure as he looks at his neighbors and are sure that they couldn't possibly have any worthy or good ideas that I probably don't have any either. And you all do, you see. What makes man afraid is man fears that other men will conjure other ideas. You worry a little bit as a society that my ideas, I wouldn't do anything to harm others, but what if some renegade human creator hatches some idea that's not good for the rest of us? And the thing that we want you to understand is none of that can get in your pie unless you give your attention to it.
Exactly.
And that is what you've come forth to live and teach through the clarity of your example. You will never, as a human or as a government or as a nation, you will never, as a clump of people or as an individual, you will never be able to convince others that they should change their actions in order to accommodate a better world. That's not ever going to happen. You're too diverse. The entire universe has been established in this powerful, positive way of diversity. That's going cross-current to the nature of the universe. But in a heartbeat, in a moment, in an instant, in a day at least, in a day or two or three or four, you can come into alignment with your own desires. And when you bring yourself into alignment, your world will shine. And others will say, why are you so shiny? And you say, because I stopped worrying about you and you and you and you and you. And I let my own life experience give birth to my desires. And I tended to my own business of coming into alignment with me. And the laws of the universe are accommodating me. And while I wish well-being for everyone, I know that it's not my job to enforce well-being of my taste on anybody else.
Hallelujah. The energy is magnificent. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.